Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know how I usually start off my sermons saying the title of our message today is, and the sermon outline is found for you in the bulletin. I already see some of you have pulled out the blue sermon outline. But I'm going to throw you a curve. Very appropriate for me if you know how I love that sport. I have prepared at least 3 or 4 Christmas messages for all the services during the season. But all of our Christmas celebrations come down to this morning. So I had a dilemma. As I drove here, if you could come behind the pulpit, you would see, here's a manuscript, here's another one, here's one, and there's one here. Which one shall we use? Well, hard choice. But as you know, it's my habit at Easter and Christmas, I usually prepare a story sermon. It is a sermon, to be sure, but it's given to you in the form of a story you can easily listen to. And if you listen carefully enough, you will hear God's message for you. So put the blue insert down, put it away. You thought we were going to talk about politics and religion. That's the title of that sermon, isn't it? We'll save it for next year. I'm going to share with you the special Christmas story that I've written that you would have heard yesterday. Our title is A Refugee Christmas. Let me read just the first verses of Luke 2 one more time. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So everyone went to be registered in the census to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And when they were there, the days were completed for her to be received. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. And now our sermon, story sermon, is entitled A Refugee Christmas. Pastor Sam Havens was pretty well worn out. As a middle-aged pastor, his energy level just wasn't up to what it used to be. He had worked hard at bringing the necessary changes to the church, but so many people simply did not want to change the way they had been doing things for years in that congregation. Others wanted changes, but they were outnumbered by the people who were simply happy with the status quo. They were happy with the way things are. In fact, more than a few people just did not want to hear one more new idea from Pastor Sam Havens. So at the year-end congregational meeting, a weary Pastor Havens reported he had no new ideas or plans for the church in the following year. And many of the people stood up and applauded. Our church, they said, will remain an unchanging fortress against a changing world. Now, as the days moved into December, Pastor Havens was not sure what to do about the situation. So he did nothing. He continued to write his sermons, prepare his Bible classes, reach out to newcomers, visit shut-ins, and attend a few meetings. But then, on the 17th of December, the office phone rang, and the voice on the other end said, "Pastor Havens?" "Yes." "This is Marie from Immigration and Refugee Services. I want to confirm the arrival of your Cambodian family on the 19th of December. They'll arrive at your airport at 11 o'clock in the morning. There's one man, his young wife, and she is very close to having their first child. And they know it's going to be a boy." Silence. Utter silence greeted the woman on the other end of the phone line. Pastor Sam Havens didn't know what to say. Then he finally said, "Are you sure you got the right church?" "Isn't this so-and-so church?" she replied. "Yes," he continued. "Well, sir," she said, "I have several pieces of correspondence with a Mrs. Long, the chairman of your social ministries committee. The last letter was dated November 15th. Now, why Pastor Havens didn't tell the woman it was all a mistake, and she'd have to find somewhere else to house the family, he didn't know, but he didn't. 5 minutes after he hung up, Pastor Sam Haven sat in his office chair in shock. Then he made 2 phone calls confirming a hunch. The arrival of this Cambodian refugee family was not a total surprise to everyone in the church. A few of the younger families had been consulted by the young committee chairman, though everyone had assumed she had canceled the order when finally she resigned her position and out of frustration left the congregation. But on Sunday evening, a meeting was called. A special congregational meeting was called to decide what to do. The hall was packed. At first, the group was split down predictable lines. Some folks said, "If change wasn't so hard to come by in our church, Mrs. Long would have stayed and we wouldn't have this mess." Others of an older generation said, "Well, this was typical of her and people of her age, going off half-cocked, making plans without contacting other people and going through all the proper church channels." Well, no one seemed thrilled over the prospects of receiving and housing a new Cambodian refugee family. Just a few days before Christmas, especially one in which a new baby boy was about to be born, but the meeting of the congregation in the church hall was approaching its second hour before one of the members asked Pastor Havens what he thought. Until that moment, Pastor Havens had remained silent. In the recent past, he had just been too worn out to take any kind of lead in a controversy. But this night was different. He stood up and said, "There's a lot about this situation I don't understand. What I do know is this. Tomorrow morning, 3 human beings, one not yet born, from no fault of their own, will be arriving at our airport without food, without clothing, without a house, without friends, with no place to live. Winters are hard enough around here under the best circumstances, but this winter has been the winter of all winters." He paused for a moment before he concluded and sat down. "I intend to be at the airport tomorrow morning. I intend to be the friend of this Cambodian family. Do any of you want to help?" After a moment of complete silence, the room nearly exploded with excitement. No longer did people begin their sentences with, "If this family comes," but they began to say to one another, "When this family comes." And in the next 90 minutes, committees were formed to find food and clothing. A woman in her 70s, one of the pastor's most vocal critics, offered her house to the family until a permanent residence could be found for them. Later that evening, Pastor Havens fell into bed exhausted, but pleased with what had happened in the congregation, but still a little worried about what was coming. The next morning, the welcoming committee was nearly to the airport before it dawned on any of them they would not be able to understand a single word the family said. Oh, in this congregation, there were people who could speak German. In this congregation, there was people who could speak Korean. In this congregation, there were a number of people who could speak Chinese, but no one could speak Cambodian. As it turned out, they didn't have to worry at all. When the man and his very pregnant wife got off the airplane, they communicated wonderfully in the universal language of gestures, smiles, handshakes, bows, and hugs. The next 5 days in the congregation were hectic. The church office phone rang off the hook even more than usual. People offered food and clothing and transportation. On Tuesday, a house was found that needed some fixing up, and several volunteers quickly stepped forward and began the repairs. One of the older men in the congregation, well known to all, handy with a hammer, took lead in fixing that house. Many people were happy for his expertise, even putting up with his strange comments from time to time. On Wednesday, a pickup truck pulled into the church parking lot filled with good but used furniture. On Thursday, an interpreter was found. One of the young women in the congregation from the university brought with her an international student from Cambodia. At last, the people wouldn't have to pantomime for communication. In all the activity, Pastor Havens noticed a strange but wonderful thing. Side by side on work crews, people labored together who for a long time had been on opposite sides of issues in the church. All of a sudden, these issues made no difference. Late Saturday night, before Christmas Sunday, Pastor Havens fell into bed, completely exhausted, but very happy. Then he suddenly realized he had not yet prepared the Christmas sermon. At another time, that would have been sense for panic. But tonight, he was just too tired. He fell asleep, asking God to give him just the right words for the morning service. The next morning, the congregation was buzzing. People who ordinarily sat in the back were way up in front, in the aisles, in the pews, talking with each other with excitement. No one even noticed when the organist began her prelude for the service. Then, the entire church grew silent. Not because the service had begun, but because two tiny little people, one wearing a brand new suit, and the other dressed in brand new maternity clothing, led up the center aisle by a smiling 70-year-old woman, walked up the aisle and sat in the front pew in Gretchen's seat, right under the pulpit. And when the service began, the building nearly shook with the singing. No one could ever remember such enthusiasm at worship. Pastor Havens was beaming right up until the time the sermon was to begin. The sermon, still unprepared, was next. As he walked into the pulpit, he was surprised at how calm he felt. As he read the first verses from the Luke 2 gospel story, his voice had a ring that was not normally there. And when he finished reading, he paused before he began to speak. And he looked out at all the people who were able to make it through the snow to worship that morning. And here's what he said. Dear friends, a great deal has happened in this church in the last few days. It's very much, in a way, like that first Christmas, when a room was found for our Lord and his parents on the night of his birth, a night when he and his family were also refugees. Many things have happened here in our congregation that have helped me to hear this Christmas story as if it were brand new. Do you feel that way too? And many heads nodded in response. He went on, we must not think that Christmas is more meaningful because suddenly we become generous people. That's like saying if we just try a little harder, the world would be a better place in which to live. No, that is, of course, what many people think the Christmas message is all about. They think Christmas is about this. Try a little harder. Love a little more. But that's not the Christmas message. The Christmas message is about reconciliation. At Christmas, God has broken into our sin-filled world. He came from heaven to break down the barriers that separate us one from another. Left to our own sinful ways, we would remain a divided and separated people. Left to our own so-called goodness, we would be lost. But God has broken into our lives, just as He broke into the lives of those people some 2,000 years ago, through a young father and a young mother and their baby. He has brought the gift of reconciliation to all mankind. In that Bethlehem manger, the mother laid not just a tiny baby, but also the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who would grow to be the one who would lay down His life for the sins of all the world. And through His death on the cross and His rising from the grave, He would bring to all of us the gift of reconciliation. With a phone call and with the arrival of this refugee family, pointing to the Cambodian family in the front pews, the pastor said, "God has interrupted our plans, and He has interrupted our divisions, and He has brought us together. He has reconciled us." This is what the coming of Jesus is all about. God has forgiven our sins. God has made us a family. God has given us a new vision of what it means to be His church. And this is all God's doing. It's not ours. Pastor Havens fought the impulse to continue his sermon. He smiled as he thought of those who reminded him Sunday after Sunday about the need to time his long sermons. This one had been a short one, but a sweet one. Instead of saying more, he looked out at all of them with a moment of silence, and his expression said it clearly. He loved them. And then he concluded, "God bless you all. Blessed Christmas Day." Now, following the benediction, he moved to the narthex to shake all the people's hands after the service, as was his custom. And when the long line had finally passed through, he came back to the pulpit to pick up his Bible. But there, waiting for him, with their 70-year-old hostess and their interpreter, stood the two, soon to be three, new members of the church family. "The family has been practicing a greeting," says the interpreter, "in English." And with this, the young couple stepped forward, bowed to the pastor, and slowly spoke in unison these words: "Merry Christmas. God bless you. Thank you for giving us a home." Though he could not remember the last time he cried in the presence of another person, tears now rolled down Pastor Sam Haven's cheeks. After he dried his eyes and cleared his throat, he said, "Please tell these dear people that we are quite even. We have given them a home, and they have given us a Christmas." Blessed Christmas to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.